For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all our listeners and their families a wonderful and safe 4th of July. Yes, this is the day we celebrate the freedoms that we enjoy in our beloved country. And sad to say, we're losing some of our freedoms, are we not? And we want to see our country turn back around. And the way to do that is get back to the Bible. Yes, let's get those godly principles being adhered to and make our country strong again. Well, we're saddened by so many things going on in the news, and we pray for all the families that have lost loved ones, so many tragic situations going on. But let us be determined, if we're in the Lord's church, to remain faithful no matter what. And if we're not in the Lord's church, what are we waiting on? Let's submit to the gospel of Christ and receive the freedom from our sins. That's the greatest freedom of all, is it not? We know that it is. Well, last Lord's Day, we began a study asking the question, who is Jesus Christ? And we began the study from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, when Jesus had asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And there were different answers, and they were wrong, except when Jesus asked the disciples, whom do ye say that I am? Peter answered correctly, as he stated, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that confession, that rock of truth, Jesus promised to build his church. So we want to continue our study this morning as we looked at a number of misconceptions still today of Jesus Christ. Now we want to turn our attention and answer the question, who is Jesus Christ? From the Word of God. And we'll continue our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And that's something we all should be doing over everything else. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, here in Martinsville. We study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, but then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in a proper way. As John 4:24 tells us, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, that is, with a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern. You would be so very much welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, we appreciate the opportunity to conduct Bible studies. We look forward to that. And if you have Bible questions or your comments, positive or negative, again, you can send those to us. Our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, we're answering the question, who is Jesus Christ? We saw a number of misconceptions still going on today of our Lord and Savior. So let's be sure we are able to know the answer to this vitally important question by the Word of God. So let us begin. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, of course, He's divine. God the Word became the only begotten Son of God. That is, the second person of the Godhead became flesh. Thus, Jesus Christ has all the characteristics of deity. He has power over all realms, yes. and that was proven in his lifetime here on the earth. And he executed God's plan of creation and the plan of redemption, salvation. Notice with me John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, capital W. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Yes, the Word, the second person of the Godhead, spoke, and all things came into existence, that is, matter. Yes, sir. Verse 14, and the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So yes, Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. And being God, Jesus is eternal. John 8, let's go there. John 8, 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now that's an important term, I am. As Vincent's word study states, it is important to observe the distinction between the two verbs. That is, was and am. Abraham's life was under the conditions of time. Therefore, had a temporal beginning, hence Abraham came into being and was born. Jesus' life was from, notice, to eternity. Hence the formula for absolute timeless existence, I am. Jesus Christ is eternal. Now, the Virgin Mary, being found of child by the Holy Spirit, brought forth the Christ child. And therefore, Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Now, that's important too. Yes, He's divine. Yes, He is eternal. But He is also the Son of Man, God with us. He became flesh. Why? In order to die for our sins, Jesus had to become flesh. God is a spirit, John 4:24, as we quoted a moment ago, and cannot die for our sins as a spiritual being. Now let's go to Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. That's referring to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Luke 19:10, a verse we should all know. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's right. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, being referred to. There's much more involved in Jesus being the Son of Man in order to die for our sins. And we want to mention this because it's vitally important that we understand the term the Son of Man, capital S-O-N. Now notice, He was tempted as we and knows about our infirmities. Hebrews 2:18. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. And verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's the difference. But Jesus has gone through what we go through. The trials, tribulations, temptations, grieving. As you know in John 19, 26 and 27, Jesus took care of Mary, having John, the disciple there at the cross, to take care of Mary. This is going to be your mother, and to Mary, this is your son now. Of course, Joseph, her husband, had died. Now, Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus, but no doubt when Joseph died, Jesus would have grieved because the closeness that they shared as he grew up in the family. So Jesus has experienced grief just as we have if we've lost a loved one. And I would imagine if we're of any age at all, of course we've lost loved ones. So this is why only Jesus can be our mediator. That's right. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man, because he was both God and man. You see the importance now of the Son of Man, as we've covered. Look at 1 Timothy 2:5 with me. For there is one God, one Godhead, yes, and one mediator between God and the men, and men, the man Christ Jesus. Thus Mary cannot be our mediator, nor can departed saints, as the Catholic Church tries to teach. That's not biblical, is it? There's one mediator, and that's Jesus Christ. But something else we need to discuss now in answering the question, who is Jesus Christ? He is the absolute fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. There are over 300 prophecies concerning Christ in the Old Testament, the first being Genesis 3:15, as God told Satan, yes, he would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, referring to the virgin birth of Mary, but that child would grow up and bruise the head of Satan. And so that was the first prophecy. And then we can go to the book of Psalms and see Psalm 22, a number of prophecies of Christ on the cross. And the very words that he would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, that's the very words Jesus would say on the cross. Psalm 22, verse 1. Then you go to Isaiah 7:14. Of course, there's a number of prophecies in the prophets. The virgin birth here in Isaiah 7:14. Chapter 53 in Isaiah, the suffering Savior, the entire chapter, prophecy of Christ. Hosea 11:1. Jesus would go down into Egypt when he was a child. And Micah 5:2, Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. In Zechariah chapter 11, 12 and 13, notice with me, and I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was pressed at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. What did Judas, Iscariot, what did he receive for betraying Christ? Yes, that's right, 30 pieces of silver. What did he do when he became sorrowful? Not godly sorrowful, but worldly sorrow. He threw the money down on the temple floor because the priest wouldn't take it. It was blood money. But when he threw it in the floor, they did take it and buy a field owned by the potter. Exact fulfillment. So we need to understand Jesus Christ, yes, is the absolute fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And of course, prophecy of his burial, his resurrection, ascension up into heaven, and his return to come. But let's notice this. As we study God's Word, do you notice that there is a scarlet thread running from Genesis to Revelation? Well, we should, because that's concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And something else in answering our question, who is Jesus Christ? He only. I repeat, he only is prophet, priest, and king. Now, some of the Old Testament characters fulfill too but most only one. As an example, Abraham was a priest and a prophet. David was a prophet and a king. And of course, Jesus was all three, prophet, priest, and king. And he foretold, for example, Peter's three denials. He foretold his death on the cross and the building of his church. John 13:38, John 3:14, Matthew 16, and on we could go. Hebrews, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Yes, Jesus is on the throne now. Where? In heaven. He's not going to take the throne here on the earth. And something else to mention, Jesus could not be a priest on the earth. Hebrews 8:4, because he was of the tribe of Judah, which Moses said nothing about that concerning the priesthood. It was the tribe of Levi, wasn't it? There in Hebrews 8:4. But he is our high priest now in heaven. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So Jesus will never sit on a throne here on the earth, as the premillennial folks try to tell us. No, sir, he's reigning on the throne right now in heaven. Acts 2:30, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that's speaking of David, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That's right. That was preached the day the church began. 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only, notice, potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The only potentate. That rules out the Catholic Pope, doesn't it? Yes, sir. Jesus Christ is the only potentate. He has all authority. He did not give that authority to the Pope here on the earth. Of course not. Matthew 28:18. Now, something else as we answer the question, who is Jesus Christ? He is Lord and Savior. We go now to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And certainly he did by going to the cross, as we all should know. Thus, Jesus, living a perfect life, he became the perfect sacrifice. And the only means of our salvation, as he is the Lamb of God. As we note that in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 25. In Revelation 17, verse 14. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And being Lord of lords, having all authority, yes, Jesus has all authority, as we just mentioned a moment ago, Matthew 28:18. He commissioned his disciples there in verses 19 and 20. Yes. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's what we call the Great Commission. And this was given to the apostles, but they were to teach this to the followers of Christ. This is the responsibility of the church to carry forth the gospel and teach all nations. Now, Colossians 3:17, we need to note this verse. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So what does it mean to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? Well, that's simply stating that we need to have the authority from Christ for what we're doing in word or deed in a religious setting. Yes, we need to stay with the authority of the New Testament. This is how we submit to the authority of Christ. Just calling out, Lord, Lord, is not submitting to the authority of Christ necessarily. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter unto the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 7:21. So many people will call out, Lord, Lord, but they're not doing the will of the Father. They're not doing the will of Christ by following his teaching, staying with the doctrine of Christ. In Acts 2:36, this was again on the day the church began there in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, yes, that's the day the church began, as Jesus had promised to build his church. And the apostles waited there to receive power from on high, which they did, as you see in Acts chapter 2, beginning in the first several verses there. But notice verse 36, as Peter and the other apostles were speaking in the languages of all the people present by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, now here it is, both Lord and Christ. Yes, he's the anointed one, but he also is the Lord with all authority. And yet they crucified the only begotten Son of God, having cried out many times to crucify him, and release unto us Barabbas, a murderer, a robber. That's what happened. And this, of course, fulfilled the plan of redemption by Jesus being the ultimate sacrifice for our sins on that very day. In Acts chapter 5, verse 31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So yes, Jesus is Lord and Savior. He's both. And we need to appreciate that, do we not? Of course we do. What does our lives say about how we appreciate what Jesus has done for us? Are we striving to follow in his footsteps? Well, we need to be. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. You see, Jesus humbly submitted to his Father's will. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, but nonetheless, thy will be done. And it wasn't possible to take away the bitter cup that Jesus was to drink there in going to the cross. It wasn't possible, for we wouldn't have salvation if Jesus did not submit to his Father's will. And he did so humbly. So let's appreciate the love of God. Well, as we've strive to answer the question, who is Jesus Christ, by going to the Word of God. I want to say this. So much more could be said about Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. As we note in John 21, 24 and 25, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they could be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Well, that's right. You'd have to carry the Bible around in a wheelbarrow. And that probably wouldn't work. So forget that example. Because this verse says even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And so we need to appreciate what is written. And let me ask this question, and all of us answer honestly. Do we accept Jesus as he is, or as we desire him to be? Well, let's be sure it's as he is in our answer, and being honest, of course. And another question, do we appreciate the suffering and death of Jesus on the cruel cross of Calvary? Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, died in my place. He died in your place. That should mean everything to us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the golden text, is it not? John 3:16. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:8-9. So have we shown our gratitude by obeying the gospel and by our daily living? Well, we need to hear the word of God in order to have faith. Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ as we've been studying. We ought to know that for sure. John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent, make that change of wills, submit to the will of God, leave that life of sin behind, and go forward and obey the gospel. The next step would be, let's Luke 13:3-5, but here's the next step. To make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. That's Matthew 10:32-33. Romans 10:9-10, it's unto salvation. Now we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism in order to contact the precious blood of Christ. Study Romans 6:3-6. As Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, that is, submitting to his authority, Acts 22:16. Now, the next step is to live faithfully, even if it means our death, Revelation 2:10. We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel, and we thank you so much for listening today.